nice lesson if you took notice when I announced it in the bulletin last month or you picked up an outline. You notice that I do not at least intend this to be a really long lesson. It is the answer to a simple question, but one that I think probably many people have asked. Given that the devil, especially, is so evil, so mean, such a terrible being, did God make the devil? And so ask this question. I want to try to answer it. And I really want to try to stay on point with the lesson. There's so much we could say about the devil or Satan or that old dragon as Ed just read for us. There's a lot we can say about him. There is more that I will want to say about him as we get later into this quarter on Sunday mornings. I want to talk a little bit about him as we deal with discipline. And obviously, he being our greatest threat to our self-discipline, as we were talking about this morning. But tonight, I want to stay on point and just try to answer the question, did God make the devil? It is interesting when you look in Scripture. I mean, you ask that question and you immediately, you know, you're inclined to say yes and be done with it. But it is interesting when you look in Scripture to talk about Satan, to talk about the order of creation and so forth. So we'll deal a little bit with in answering this question tonight. Let's start off by saying this. I do believe that God created the devil together with everything that exists, that is excluding himself, of course. In other words, he is self-existent. I think he's saying that in Exodus 3 when he says, go tell Pharaoh my name, tell him I am that I am. Meaning I am self-existent. I don't come from anywhere. I wasn't created by anyone, etc., etc. God is the creator of all things. We can look at simple statements. Go with me to Genesis for a moment. And look at Genesis 1 and verse 1, which says a lot. But it is stated really as a fact, not defended. Certainly not in Genesis, is it, that God always existed and God is the creator. Although, we could look elsewhere and we could establish that point. But in the beginning, it says in Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And I think what is being said there, if I understand what it is teaching, especially the terminology that's used in the original language, etc., is that God, out of nothing, that is from nothing, there being nothing physical that existed, God created everything there is. There are a number of statements. For example, if you'll go down with me to the last verse in Genesis 1, we might look at verse 31, where God now has completed his 6 days of work. On the sixth day, of course, and at the very end, creating man himself. But God saw everything that he had made. So in the beginning, he created everything. He saw everything he had made. And you'll notice, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning, of course, were the sixth day. Just keep reading with me into chapter 2. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, he says. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had made. Now, it's a natural question, and growing out of this statement really comes the question tonight, is that simply and only talking about in Genesis 1 what we might call the physical universe? That is, the earth and everything on the earth, and as we go beyond the earth, the atmosphere, we start talking about the heaven, the atmosphere and space and all the planets and stars and comets and everything else. Did God, is that saying God created all of that, but not including the devil? In other words, Genesis 1 doesn't speak of the creation of Satan. To go in a broader sense, Genesis 1 doesn't speak of the creation of the angels, for example. That they're not part of this physical universe that we're talking about. And my answer to that would be, I believe that's right. Genesis 1 is not talking about Satan and what is beyond the physical universe. But that doesn't mean the Bible elsewhere does not talk about it. So stay with me for just a moment. God created the physical universe. Let's start with that. God is the creator of all things. That is, everything we know, everything we understand, the world, the space, etc. above us. God is the creator. If we were to go to the New Testament, you've heard me say this before, go with me to John 1. In a similar fashion, if we go to John 1, we begin in the New Testament to focus upon the agent of creation. And the agent, of course, of creation is none other than Jesus himself. That's why I often make statements like, it was fitting. And Luke 24 says that. In fact, on the same opening of my Bible, it was fitting. It behooved Christ. Well, I think it was fitting. It behooved Christ, the Creator, the actual Creator who did the work, to be the one who would come and die for us. I think that's fitting. But just to simply put it as John 1 does, in the beginning, you'll notice the similarity. I think that's intentional. In the beginning was the Word. We learn later in verse 14 that we're talking about none other than Christ. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then notice verse 3. You have statements like this, at least three distinct times, maybe four, in the New Testament. All things were made by Him. Now very clearly then, Jesus is the Creator of all things. We still haven't answered the question about Satan yet, but all the earth, all the heavens, all the physical universe are made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Now I want you to notice that statement in verse 3. That's different. Because someone looks at Genesis 1 and the opening of Genesis 2 and comes to me and says, that really is not talking about Satan, is it? It's not talking about the order of angels and demons, including Satan, is it? And my answer to that is, you're right. I agree with that. I think Genesis 1 is picturing the creation of the physical universe. Whether we're talking about the earth, we're talking about the earth's atmosphere, we're talking about the sun, the moon, the heavenly bodies as we call them, we're talking about all living things, plant and animal on the earth. I believe that's talking about that. However, notice how far John goes with it. John doesn't just simply say that the heavens and the earth were created by the Word. In other words, if you want to parallel Genesis 1, verse 1 exactly, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But John 1 doesn't say, in the beginning, the Word created the heaven and the earth. Notice verse 3 and how far it goes. All things were made by Him. Well, what does that mean? Everything, absolutely everything that was created by Jesus. I believe that's what it's saying. We're going to show other passages to back that up. But just stay with that general statement made. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. If we were to go back into the Old Testament briefly, go with me to the book of Psalms, and I want to look at Psalm 33. I'm just going to look at two of them, although there are many statements made in Psalms to this effect. But let me look at Psalm 33, and notice down, when it is talking about rejoicing in the Lord, it is looking at His greatness. I want you to look at verse 6. By the word of the Lord. Now, we've already established from John 1, we're talking about Jesus, God, yes, but Jesus, the agent of creation. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Then notice the statement made even in Psalm 33. And all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Okay, so what are we talking about? The heavens and the host of heaven, meaning all the planets, etc. We might be talking about only that. Only a verse that I neglected to put on your outline and meant to actually comes from the song we sang this morning, or the song comes from the original psalm that says the same thing. Edward led us in praise to the Lord this morning. Turn to Psalm 148. And notice an interesting statement that's made in Psalm 148. And then we're going to draw a conclusion. In Psalm 148, you'll recognize the words. We just sang them this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Notice verse 2. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His host. Now, there is host used for something more than just the planets and the stars, etc. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all the stars of light. Praise Him, you heaven of heavens, you waters that are above the heavens. But notice verse 5. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. Notice included in the list, yes, there's the physical universe. But go back to verse 2 again, and notice included in the list are the angels. So what are we saying if we look at all these verses before we go back to the New Testament and I think make it abundantly clear? God created everything. He is the creator of all things, like I say on the outline. The agent of creation, Jesus. If we come to the New Testament, we're going to reinforce that here in a second. Clearly, by the hands, by the action of Jesus, God made everything. Well, what does everything include? Well, certainly all the physical universe. But we've already seen a couple of verses here that tell us that it goes beyond that. By Him was everything made that was made. Now, that only leaves you with two possibilities, and one of them was posed by someone asking the question. Maybe the devil is eternal, like God. Maybe there's a bad God and a good God. There are a lot of people that believe that, but I don't think that that's what's being said in the New Testament. Go with me, if you will, and you'll notice on your outline that I ask the question, I say, or I make the point, and then I try to defend it, and let's see if I can. The devil, you know, the question is the devil eternal, meaning like God, is he from all eternity? Let me make that clear what I mean. You're eternal. I'm eternal. From the moment I was conceived and became a human being, my soul will live forever. If you want to put it mathematically, I will live, although this is really not a correct statement, I will live as long from now on as God will live, because there will be no end to my existence, just like there's no end to the existence of God. All right, well, what's different? I had a beginning. I began somewhere along late 1958, if my calculation is correct, somewhere in late 1958, my life began, and I was actually born in 1959. I had a definite beginning. God does not. If we were to look at Jesus, and I'm not going to turn back there, but Micah chapter 5 would tell us of Jesus, he was born in Bethlehem. But that's not the beginning. His goings, that is everything about him, everything that makes him the Son of God, is from everlasting. That's not true of us. It's not true of any being other than God. We cannot say, I am that I am. We're not self-existent. We were created. We had a finite beginning. Did the devil exist from everlasting? Did the devil exist from all eternity? Is he that bad God who's the nemesis of the good God? The answer to that is no. The devil had a definite beginning. And logically, that beginning was before ours. In other words, to try to keep this straight, when we're looking in Genesis 1 and we're seeing on the sixth day the creation of man, before all of that, those 6 days of work in which all the earth was created, physical universe was created, man was created. Sometime before all of that, the devil was created. He was a being made by God. And just like everything in Genesis 1 that God made, he made him good. And I believe the Bible teaches us that. Now let's look at some passages and see if that's exactly what the Bible is saying. First of all, you'll notice on your outline, I ask the question, is the devil eternal from all eternity? The answer is no. We're going to look at that. But let's note that he has to be in existence before we are. Because the devil, well, let's say it like this. Go with me to James chapter 1. I didn't put this on your outline, but let's read it. In James 1, notice James is talking about sin here. And he says, let no man say when he's tempted, you'll drop down to verse 13 in James 1. Let no man say to me, he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and neither tempts he any man. You'll notice in 14 and 15, he's definitely talking about temptation to sin. Well, what does that mean? And how does the devil come into that equation? Well, we're tempted to sin. And in fact, if we were to go to the Bible and we were to see the whole plan of God, the salvation of man, Jesus dying on the cross, all of that, that plan was drawn up, if you will, by God. That plan existed before the world was ever made. Now, how do we know that? Well, it says so. In Ephesians chapter 1, if you'll turn there quickly with me. In Ephesians 1, you'll notice the plan of God when he says, we are blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him. But notice when. When were Christians chosen to be in Christ? Now, not individuals, but the whole group of us. Before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He predestinated this, that is, he determined before, is the idea, before what? Before even the beginning of the world, before the foundation of the world, he determined that we would, if you'll notice in verse 6, be accepted or acceptable, we would say, in the Beloved, and that's Jesus. So God had a plan before he ever made us. Let's reinforce that. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. We're talking about our salvation here in 1 Peter 1. He'll say the same thing. He'll talk about how we were redeemed. We were bought back from our bondage of sin. And notice what he says. He says, you were not, notice in verse 18, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like money. Nobody paid a ransom for you in money, like silver and gold, from your vain conversation, your way of life you had before. But, verse 19, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb. Sacrificial lamb is the idea. Without blemish, without spot. But notice verse 20. Who verily, truly, was foreordained, again, before the foundation of the world. Now what does that mean? Well, it means God made us on that sixth day, as Genesis 1 talks about. But he made us in such a way that we would have choice. We talked about it this morning a lot. We would have choice to do good, choice to do evil. He would plant a tree in the garden and say, don't eat that fruit. You have a choice. I'm not going to force you, but I'm telling you, don't eat the fruit. Because in the day you eat the fruit, you suffer the consequences, like we're talking about this morning. So you have choice. Well, in order for there to be choice, there has to be the ability, the possibility, of sin. There has to be temptation because, James 1, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. It requires temptation. God doesn't tempt us with evil. Simply placing the tree there gives us choice, but it doesn't tempt us to eat of the tree. But in Genesis 3, along comes that old serpent. And he says, eat of the tree. Because in the day you eat it, your eyes are going to be open. God knows that. God's trying to keep you back from something you'll enjoy, something you want. Eat of that tree. That's the temptation. And it requires Satan to do that. So, God would not simply make everything that he made in Genesis 1, plan before he made everything, and there not even be the possibility of temptation without the devil. So if we look at that, we kind of work back. What we get to is there's a plan to save man whom God has not yet created. And that plan includes the possibility of temptation that we know is attributed to Satan. We know all temptation is attributed to him. We see that in various passages. And so there must be that. There must be a being who will deliberately tempt us to evil. Who is that? It's obviously Satan. Now, is Satan, again, that eternal God, bad God, evil God, the nemesis of God, the good God? No. God made the angels at some point. Does Scripture say that? Well, I think it does. I think we could go back to those Psalms again, and we could see the statement, he spoke the word and they were created. I certainly think we can go to John 1, and we can see all things were made by him. But it doesn't spell it out. And so some have pointed that out. Well, let's spell it out then. Go with me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians. And notice a couple of statements that Paul makes in Ephesians and Colossians. So we'll go to Ephesians 3. Go down to verse 9, and notice what Paul says here. Ephesians 3, down in verse 9. Again, he speaks of Christ, you can see at the end of verse 8, and he says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, now notice, who created all hasn't yet spelled it out, but go to the next verse. To the intent that now unto principalities and powers in the heavenlies might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. All right, is that saying, and I think it is, but I'm not going to leave it at that. Is that saying that all things, including principalities and powers in the heavenlies, are made by Christ? It is. How do I know that? Well, go to Colossians 1. And you're going to see it spelled out here so there isn't any question. In Colossians 1, we still speak of Jesus, the agent of creation. And we'll see down in verse 13, it really begins when it talks about the kingdom of His dear Son. It says of Him in verse 15, He is the image of the invisible God. And says of Him in verse 16, For by Him, notice, were all things created. Now, that's what we read in John 1. But here's what Paul says. By Him were all things created, things that are in the heaven, things that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Well, how do I know that includes Satan? Turn back a page to Ephesians 6. And remember this statement in Ephesians 6 where it talks about we don't wrestle against flesh and blood? You kind of hold your finger at Colossians 1:16 and turn back the page. But look at chapter 6. As I said, back a page. I need to go back a book. I'm good. That sound right the whole time. Go back to Ephesians 6. And look down in verse 12. And remember when it says, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Notice the list that we wrestle against. Against, and see if this sounds familiar, principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, etc. And obviously, in the couple of verses, the devil is included in that. Again, if you want to see it, turn back and forth between Colossians 1:16 and Ephesians 6. And I assure you, that in the original language, I just checked this again last night to make sure, same words are used. So what is it saying? Well, it's saying the devil's not an eternal God. Of course, we knew that, but we just want to see it spelled out. The devil is created by God. Through Jesus, the devil is created. Now, put the scenario together. What does it look like from everything we've said? God exists, that is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God exists from all eternity. He is the eternal God. At some point, man, I really won't work from eternity because it doesn't matter. It's an infinite amount of time. But at some point before the creation of the physical universe, Genesis 1 creation, earth and all the animals and man and the stars and the planets. At some time before that, the angels were created. And the angels apparently were made good, given choice, like you are in your lifetime. And many of them, if we want to use the terminology in Revelation 12, two-thirds of them chose to obey God. But one-third did not. Led by Satan, obviously, that's the description being given in Revelation 12. Led by Satan, if we were to go back and add a couple of other passages to it, and I'll mention them again in a moment. Led by him being the insurrectionist, him being the one that incited, that drew away like a dragon with a great tail, drawing others away with him, sweeping them away from God. He chose to rebel against God. Now, having said all of that, if we listen to some of the language in the Bible, I think we see that. And I'm going to look at something, and really at two things Jesus says. But I want to go back and add one statement made by Jesus that sometimes lends confusion. And that is John 8. Because remember, and I'm not going to turn there and go all through it for sake of time, but you can do that. You can go home and look at it tonight. Remember, Jesus says in John 8, he's arguing with the Jews, and they say, we're of our father Abraham. And Jesus is saying, you ain't from Abraham. He's not your father. If he was your father, you'd do his works. You do what he did. He was faithful. They keep on arguing. We're not born of fornication. You are. No, you are of your father, the devil, he says. Because you notice when he says that, he says, he was a murderer from the beginning. Now, sometimes people will read that statement and say, well, see there? He was eternal. He was a bad alternate force or God from the beginning. No, no. Look at the statement carefully. He was a murderer from the beginning, verse 44, I'm pretty sure it is. He was a murderer from the beginning and did not abide in the truth. What does that mean? It means he once was in it, and he didn't stay. You see, he was a murderer from the beginning and never was part of the truth means he was always bad. He was a murderer from the beginning and did not stay, as we might say down south, or didn't remain or abide, or literally the word is persevere in the truth. It means he once was there, but he didn't stay. And what that's saying is this. Satan, like all the angels, given a choice, and some chose to rebel against God. Now I think that's echoed, and I'm not going to painstakingly go through Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. But I think if you look at the prophecy taken against the king of Babylon, and that's who it's against, even though he's called Lucifer there, which simply just means the morning star or the day star. But a prophecy against the king of Babylon. Or again in Ezekiel 28, take this prophecy up against the king of Tyre. And then it begins to talk about these two kings who rebelled against God. Yes, they were put into power. They were raised up into power by God. And then they did not do what they were supposed to do. Now, what's that like, I think God is saying? Well, that's just like the one that was created, the wonderful cherub, the glorious cherub, that back there in the Garden of Eden rose up and rebelled, etc., etc. We're not talking about these two kings. It's going beyond that. Really what it's doing is it's describing exactly what Jesus is saying in John 8. What do I mean by that? Well, the king of Babylon rebelling against God, he's doing the works of his father Satan, the devil. The king of Tyre doing the bad works, he's following right in the steps of his father, the devil. Just like Jesus is talking about in John 8. But Jesus even says himself, go to Luke, if you will, for a moment. And look at Luke chapter 10, speaking of the devil. Now remember, Jesus has always existed. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. And Jesus makes a statement about the devil. This is when the 70 have been sent out by Jesus and they come back. Look at verse 17. And they're amazed. Lord, even the demons are subject unto us, notice, through your name. In other words, wow, man, the demons are powerful. But yet, when the authority of Christ is invoked, they immediately knuckle under the authority of Christ. The disciples are amazed by that. And Jesus is like, well, why shouldn't they be? I'm the Son of God. I'm the Creator. I made them. I made them, I gave them choice, and I punished them when they didn't obey what they were supposed to obey. Now, read it with me again. Lord, even the demons, verse 17, are subject unto us through your name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. We got a lot of verses here, but I'll mention 2 Peter 2 and I'll mention Jude 1. And the idea is the devil, the demons that are subject to him, obviously, they were punished. They were in heaven with God, which is where the angels are. But they were kicked out of heaven. Or they were thrown out of heaven. Or to use Revelation 12, they were cast down out of heaven. It all means the same thing. They were thrown out. And they were thrown out because of their disobedience, because of their rebellion. And Jesus saw it. In fact, the truth is, Jesus is the one who did it. And the demons know them. They recognize them. Again, I'm not going to turn to the verses, but think about when he confronts the demons and how the demons will say to him, Matthew chapter 8, have you come to punish us before the time? You think they know who he is? You think they know what's coming? Yes, exactly. They've been put into a place reserved in chains. 2 Peter 2, Jude 1. Reserved in chains until the final time. And they know what's coming. They know exactly what's coming because they disobeyed. They were given choice. They disobeyed. And Jesus punished them. He cast them out of heaven, as it were. And that's why Jesus will say it here to the disciples, I saw it. I was there, is the idea. I saw it. So what am I saying in all of this? Did God make the devil? Yes. God made the devil. Who was the devil? What was the devil? The devil was an angel. Together with all of the other angels that God had created. When? Sometime, and I don't know when that is. The Bible never even hints at it. But some amount of time before he made the world. Before he made everything we see and everything we know personally face to face. He made the devil. They were given choice. Obviously so. You read the language of Isaiah and Ezekiel and put that together with Revelation 12, etc. They had choice. And some of them. Is it literally a third? I don't know. It's figurative language. But it's a significant amount. A number of them. Chose to follow Satan. To rebel against Satan, who was, if the language of Isaiah and Ezekiel is intimating that, and I think it is, who was exalting himself. Who was, just like it says, the angels left not their first estate. They didn't leave they left their place. They didn't stay where they were supposed to stay. He exalted himself, and they went with him. And for that, they were cast down, cast out of heaven. Jesus said, right here, he saw it. And then they enter into what they're allowed to do. They're allowed to tempt man. They're allowed to try. He's allowed to continue to do what he did from the beginning. He drew those angels after him away from God. He tries to draw and succeeds with many people to draw them away from God. To follow him. And what he tempts them to do rather than God. But is he eternal? No. He is not a God. He was not from all eternity. He was a created being. He has a lot of license. He has tremendous power, but not the power of God. In fact, as Jesus, the disciples are amazed here. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. No doubt. I created them. I have authority over them even now. Even to you and I. There are powerful passages given to us. Think about Satan being bruised under the very feet of Christians in Romans 16. That's awesome to think about that. Bruised, hurt is the idea. Stomped on. Because here he tries to draw some Christian away. He tries to tempt some Christian to leave God and follow him. And that Christian, in his humanity, in his weakness, looks at Satan and says, no. And that hurts. For Christ is still victorious. Or you look at the passage in James chapter 4. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's not just he'll go away. He'll run away. Because he can't deal with that. He can't take the idea of someone who would submit to Jesus Christ when promised the world. Just like he tried to come to Jesus and tempt him and promise the world. He can't take that. So he runs. That's power. But it's power in Jesus Christ. So did God make the devil? Yes. Why? Well, same reason God has made everything God has made. To glorify him. To serve him. Ultimately, to be with him. Man is the highest of his creation. Of all things he has made, human beings are. Sometimes I think the reason the Bible says that is because we've been given, in one sense, so little. I mean, we're not, we don't have all the advantages of having been in the very presence of God. And yet we believe and we serve and we will even give our lives for Jesus. And so, human beings, last thing I will say, will even judge the angels. And that includes Satan. Did God make the devil? Yes. Did God make the devil to be equally powerful to him? No way. Only God has that power. And when you are in Jesus Christ, you have the ability to overcome. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, you believe in Jesus, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, you're willing to confess that, to give your life for Him, to change the things that need to be changed, to do what He wants you to do, to not do what He doesn't want you to do, to say no to Satan and his temptation. Tonight you'll be baptized for forgiveness of your sins. They'll all be washed away, and you will be a child of God. And maybe you're here and you've done that, and you're looking at your life and you're saying, I need to overcome some things. You can't. Jesus still has all authority, all power. Won't you please come to me while we stand as a